Well, everybody, welcome back to the Trig Podcast. Enjoying Gozo TV on this beautiful Friday, November 3rd, 2023. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this episode talking about Enneagram 3 and stress and what to do during times of uncertainty and stress. And this came as a result of listening, of course, to my big shout out, by the way, to Ian Cron and his amazing podcast called Typology, which is also on the Enneagram. And he had a episode that was like a repeat of a pandemic series that he did on stress in the pandemic and how each Enneagram type, each number handles stress. And it was good to hear it. It's funny, ironic, I guess, because I was thinking, wow, how did I handle that? What did I do? And I went to the nine a lot. It was a lot of waiting and seeing. And other people go into fight mode, other threes. And so I wonder what you did if you're a three, if you went to the nine, which is the low side of the three, meaning when we're in stress, we tend to go to the nine, which is, yes, peacemaking, but it also can be a fight or flight thing where you kind of run away from the problems. And I found myself hiding and kind of being not only afraid, but uncertain, not knowing what to do. Paralyzed could be a better word, frozen. And then eventually, of course, I came out of that, and with the vaccine and whatever, I eventually came back online stronger than ever. But it did take me a while, and it took me by surprise. I don't think I had ever experienced the nine, the low side of nine, in such a clear way as during the pandemic. Now, obviously now, in 2023, we're no longer dealing with that, but there are other stresses that you may be working through. And so I want to go over some of the things that you can do during a stressful season, a time of transition, a time of shame or feelings of failure, a time of fear and anger and shame. All those wonderful things that we as threes tend to deal with. Plus, on top of that, not wanting to deal with conflict, wanting to avoid conflict at all costs. And so, what to do? So, the first thing that I thought of is the importance of peace and of being unproductive in a spiritual way. So, I don't mean to ignore your life or to run away from it. Now, if you do ignore your life, let's say 1 week, 2 weeks, a day, an hour a day, and you go home early from work or you eat, I don't know, too much of what you want, pizza or whatever, that's what I like, then it's giving yourself the grace. But what I mean is that instead of overworking, which is what threes tend to do in stressful times, is for you to allow yourself the freedom to not do anything and accomplish more. Because when the three is in stress, he or she tends to want to double down on what they did wrong or on how to fix the problem or on doing things differently in a new way. And what happens is that not only do you exhaust yourself, but you exhaust those around you, and more than anything, you're not really changing on the inside. You might be thinking you are. You might be even doing the right things to grow and to learn from your mistakes or just simply to heal. But the overworking and the overproduction or the shiny object syndrome, as they call it, meaning, oh, new thing, I want to do this, I want to do that, that doesn't really help your soul to heal. When I went through a very challenging season of, I call it the fifth dimension whammy. We lost my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my uncle, my wife's uncle, my wife's job, and my job, all in the same two-year span. And that was in the middle of a pandemic. And so you can imagine the kind of stress. And our beautiful son, David, was moving away to college, which that wasn't a bad thing, but it was a loss. as well as Daisy, our beautiful dog, also had some cancer that she's been dealing with. And thankfully, she's still with us, but it's something that is obviously a big issue for her. She's our beloved dog. But anyway, so all that stuff, and what I did the first time that this happened, nothing quite that dramatic happened. I guess it was 7-8 years ago when something similar happened in our not in our marriage, but in our lives. Then I remember, as I said, during the pandemic, especially hiding, running. The second time that this happened, so actually let me go back. The first time that it happened, I went into overdrive. I wanted to start new businesses and launch new podcasts and do more live streaming and build podcasting studios and counsel people and coach people and all of these things, all of it to manage kind of the manic depressive feelings that I was dealing with, the sense of shame and of fear of not being able to provide, all these huge, huge fears that a man, any human being carries. Looking back, I think that was somewhat good, but I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't recommend it because I didn't seek a counselor. I didn't seek any spiritual direction. I didn't get closer to God. I didn't do anything, let's say, service-oriented to help other people in need. I was just thinking about myself out of fear and panic and shame. And did those efforts yield much? Maybe. I'm not sure. But what I do remember is that my soul wasn't doing very well. Now, the second time that this happened, which was the recent one that I just mentioned these last few years, I had learned from my mistakes, and I basically did the opposite. I engaged serving. I volunteered at a church, my shout out to VODTSA, Downtown Santa Ana, for 2 years as a volunteer, no paycheck, no money, and we served wholeheartedly. And we weren't just serving, I don't know, doing things that were, quote, easy, but we helped people. We counseled people. We met with people in need, and we developed genuine, true friendships that healed me, and that hopefully we brought some healing to others as well. Second, I did go back to therapy and had a spiritual director, and that was huge. Again, not cheap, not free. I wasn't making a lot of money. I had odd jobs, but I knew I had to find someone that I could be honest with, not just my wife, but someone else. Third, I didn't do anything stupid, nor did I ignore my problems. It's the classic thing of David and Bathsheba, where David, I guess this is the opposite for him, he was at the top of his game, and he fell. And I don't mean that the only way we can fall is cheating or that kind of thing, but giving into depression, suicidal thoughts and tendencies, of course, addictions, pornography or alcohol or whatever it may be, inappropriate relationships, maybe even taking on jobs that are somewhat compromise your values, that compromise your values, whatever. That all that can happen. You can also overspend. You can overeat, tend to maybe gamble. Obviously, as I said, as I mentioned, drugs and alcohol, all these can be hidden issues for a three main crisis. And by the grace of God and therapists, and yes, my wife, of course, and a lot of mentors that I gathered around me, my father-in-law when he was still with us, my mom, and then, of course, two really close friends that I have, plus my therapist. All of those people, I brought them into my life to not mess up, to make sure that I was on the thin and narrow, on the, what is that phrase? On the something and narrow, short and narrow. And so that was very important. I would say another thing that was crucial was to say no to jobs that weren't the right fit. On the straight and narrow, that's what I meant to say. There were maybe two or three or four, I don't know, maybe more things, jobs at churches primarily, some that weren't. Maybe they were at universities and colleges and things that, well, some of them just said no. And so I got a lot of rejections for sure. But some of them did say yes, or they were interested, and they would have been the wrong fit. It would have been things that I would have done for money. Not that I didn't need money, but that I think would have hurt me long term. And those were difficult decisions. Of course, to get rejected over and over again isn't any easier. And some of those jobs I really wanted, I really was hopeful, and this one especially, but it was important and a spiritual discipline to trust in God. One of the things that really helped me was this one drawing that was mentioned in a book. Oh yeah, it's another thing that I did. I read a ton of books. One especially called The Happiness Curve. And the author there, I forget his name, he mentions these drawings, these four drawings about the seasons of life. And the one at midlife, which is what we're going through here, if you're like me in our 40s and 50s and so forth, it talks about how this third season is the one where you look up, you're in this boat, this man is still full of strength, but he's kneeling and he's begging for mercy up to heaven. But all he sees are dark clouds and demons above him, and the presence of God is nowhere to be seen. But way in the distance, amidst all the rocks and trees falling into this river that he's floating through and all the chaos, there are still waters ahead. And that image, and of course Psalm 23, which is probably where this author got this idea from, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil, they really helped me to navigate, to not give up. And that's what the book talks about, what to do, basically the summary of the book, what to do at midlife or in this unhappiness season that men and women go through worldwide, globally, no matter your income, your color, your socioeconomics, no matter what. It's to basically be patient and don't do anything stupid. Hang in there and don't do anything stupid. It will get better. Those tools and all that stuff really, really guided me. God used that book tremendously, along with my therapist and all the other things I've mentioned, to really guide me through this crazy season that I'm now, I would say I'm pretty much 90% out of it, if not 95, 99%, by the grace of God. And there are a lot of things that I didn't do, and there were some things that definitely cost me a lot of fear. I dealt with these GI, gastrointestinal, excuse me if this is TMI, issues for, I don't know, 3-4 months. That I'm just in the last month or so coming out of. Very, very painful, and took a bunch of stuff. And again, not to get too personal, but a lot of pain. And so I didn't give in to the fear, although my mind, if you're a 3 again, we deal with this neurotic personality that kind of like hypochondriac, that thinks something is horribly wrong. And this is more of anxiety driven, etc. So, but I, thankfully, by the grace of God and the love of my wife, I didn't give into it. I worked every day this year, pretty much. I maybe took 1 or 2 days off. And God really honored that into this new season that he's bringing us into. So those are all the things that I guess I didn't do, / did do. I would say in terms of my faith, I didn't put a lot of pressure on myself to be the spiritual monster. At times, I didn't want to pray or seek God or cry out to him. Other times, especially as I was leading worship and teaching at church these last 2 years, I was on my knees crying at the altar on Sunday mornings in the middle of worship, just pouring myself out to God in front of 100 people, just saying, Lord, I need you. And that is not very easy for us 3s. We're always trying to look, like they used to say, never let them see you sweat. We're always trying to look the part better than we really are. And to be vulnerable, to cry in front of leaders and pastors and young people and my family on stage at the altar wasn't even embarrassing. It was just the right thing. I'm so glad. And it happened often for a season. I remember, especially, I think it was a year ago, about this time, August, September, October. All of that was very healing to me. The presence of God it wasn't something that I was pursuing him. It was more of him waiting for me, like the prodigal son's father. Maybe even him pursuing me, like the shepherd who went after the one and left the 99. We as threes don't like to be sought after. I mean, we need it. We need to be loved and cared for, but maybe by our wives, maybe by our mom. That's about it. Nobody else can know how deeply in shame and fear and overwhelm we live, how often we are insecure and we feel worthless. And so to do that was very healing. And of course, I would be remiss to not say that my wife's patience, listening ear, day after day, week after week, month after month, of hearing me in need of God and her praying for me, and her strength and her prayers, my mom, my father-in-law, but most of all my wife, really guided me through this last season, where she also was in need. And by the grace of God, I can say that I was there for her as well, and I still am, because now she's dealing with more of the grief of her father. And so God is now giving me the privilege to be there for my beautiful wife as she grieves her amazing mom and dad, who are now gone and with Jesus. I'd say that the other thing that I did is that, and maybe it's what I learned in counseling, is to not get too high or too low going into this exciting new season that's in front of me. Normally, when good things happen, I would be jumping off the walls. A lot of it because I thought that this would make me famous, or it would be more of, hey, look at me, God, look at what I did. But as good things are beginning to happen now, I find myself saying, look at Jesus. Look at the miracle that God is doing. And as my therapist says, you're growing, he said. You're more stable. You're just, this is my language now, you're just another John on the journey. You're just another bozo on the bus. And for a three, that language at first is very offensive, because we're anything but another bozo on the bus. We're anything but, or wanting to be, another John on the journey. But it's been the healthiest thing to realize that that's all I am. I'm nobody special. I have so many things that I don't do well. There's a million things I'm not. And there may be one or two things that I sort of am good at. Whereas a three normally likes to live in this deception, self-deception, and this vanity that he or she is just amazing and gifted in everything. And so I can do anything through me who gives me strength. That's just a horrible way to live, but that's how threes often live until we learn this lesson. And as I said, I think that the biggest lesson that I've learned these last 2 years through all the things that I've mentioned is to realize I'm just another John on the journey. As my therapist says, to let go of the outcomes. So the last year or so, I've been substitute teaching in various districts in LA and Orange County, and it's been difficult. First, to be no one. To be just a sub, and you know the disrespect that subs get from kids, especially high schoolers, which is what I mostly did. But then to just be someone without a name, a title, an office, nothing, even though I had all these degrees and all this experience and all this stuff, but I was just a sub and just making a couple hundred bucks a day, if that. And it was just such a blow to my ego and to not providing the way I'm used to and not making six figures and all these things that I have had in the past. But God used all of that to, as I said, to not only to humble me, but to let go of the outcomes. To, as my therapist again, shout out to Jerry at SIFT, he asked me in this last school where I've been teaching math, and it's been glorious. He asked me, so are the kids happy? And I said, oh, they love me, or they're thankful for me, or they're just glad to be there. And then, do parents get along with you? I said, yeah, it's been glorious. I did 22 parents teacher conferences. And is a school happy with your performance? I said, yes. He said, then, okay, that's all you need to worry about. But what about being teacher of the year and having a statue in front of the school and having my name, plate of my name, and having a parking spot reserved for me and earning six figures and having... I kept thinking, let go of the outcomes. That's what he was telling me. Let go of the outcomes. When a three lets go of the outcomes, it brings him or she back to his worthlessness. But then as you bring that to God, and as you bring that to therapists and your own healing, and as you wait patiently for the Lord, Psalm 40, then you realize that inside of your worthlessness, or behind worthlessness, there's actually a lot of true love and compassion for other people. Because the threes, we're at the center of the heart triad. So we are the most, we're the lovers of the soul, of all of humanity. We're the ones that to our left, we have the four, which is an artist. To the two, we have the two. Excuse me, to the right, we have the two, which is the compassionate types. And then the threes, the achievers. But all three of us, two, threes, and fours, we're filled with love. And we as threes, when we work through our stuff, when we heal properly, then we can find that deep sense of compassion and love that's inside of us. But when we don't heal properly, and we, let's say you don't take the full antibiotic treatment, you know how you get pills and you don't finish it, when you come back too soon, then you will re-injure yourself. And I re-injured myself emotionally many times when I didn't heal properly. This season took me 2 years to heal. 2 years. I remember talking to one of my coaches, not my therapist, but he was my spiritual coach and ministry coach. He said to me, David, 2 years after what you went through, that's just barely coming out of the emergency room, out of the ICU. He works with a ton of pastors that go through the same stuff as I and many others go through. He said, 2 years is barely, you maybe are, you're having your IV and all the cables and all the stuff taken out of you. And now you're going to be put into maybe a regular recovery room. And you still need to recover. You're not out of the hospital yet. He said, I would not push myself to be better than I am after 2 years. I thought it would take me 2 months to be ready to go and conquer the world. No way. Not a chance. I would say that a good beating up in leadership takes 2 years minimum to come out of. And I asked a lot of my mentors, some never come back. I remember one of my other mentors, spiritual directors, he said, Trigg, most pastors never come back from what you went through. They just go into the business world or into insurance or, in my case, education, or entrepreneurship, tech, whatever it may be, they never come back. You know, by the grace of God, I never lost my heart for ministry. And so now that God is opening doors once again, my heart is pure. My heart is not bitter. Now, I had bitterness against people that I've worked through when I was working on my, when I was finishing my master's and starting my doctorate, I took a class on forgiveness. Church forgiveness, of all things. And I thought, wow, this is, talk about ironic and perfect and or horrible timing, because I didn't want to deal with church forgiveness. I didn't want to forgive. But that really helped me at the beginning of this year to work through some of the deepest stuff that I was still holding on to. And remember, what we're dealing with is painful stuff, very painful stuff. What you're going through, no one can tell you to get over it or pray or go back to church or not do this or do that. Again, don't mess up your life and hang in there. It will get better. But all of my directors, all of these amazing men of God who have worked with thousands of pastors, including my own father-in-law, who this is what he did for a living. Rest in peace, my dear dad, Dad Baker. This is what he would advise me. It's 2 years. It's barely getting out from the hot water of it all. And so I would say, if you're a three and you are in a little bit of a pickle, and your tendencies are to overdo, overproduce, put pressure on yourself to be better, to be happier, to look for the new shiny object, to mess up your life, to not deal with your stuff privately, then I would, I guess, advise to look for help. I am here to help you as a spiritual coach. This is what I do as part of my own healing and process, is to sit down with leaders who maybe not aren't going through it yet, but maybe they see some of the effects, normally anger, lust, fear, anxiety, overwhelm, anger. Did I mention anger? Did I mention lust? Did I mention maybe betrayal or compromising your own values, your marriage, your health? Maybe it is a health scare. A lot of threes, we go through health scares. I've been through my share. And so the tendency is to hide, because we're really hiding from our own shame like Adam. But what God wants to do is to bring fig leaves and eventually a sacrifice called Jesus to cover our shame. So if you would like my coaching, please go to davidtrudick.com/coaching. I would love to talk to you and help you through your own turbulent waters as we seek the still waters that are coming up and that are coming ahead for you and for all of us. In Jesus' name, thank you for being here. I'll see you next time. Adios.